All right, let's have prayer here before we get started. Dear God, would you bless your word this morning? Lord, would you anoint it by your spirit? Lord, as we speak, dear God, I pray that you would have full control of this, to say what you desire to say, because, Lord, we need it. We need you this morning, dear God. Please be with us by your spirit and lead in God. In Jesus' name, amen. I think about this morning the importance of being hid in the Lord and allowing Him to do that in our life. And that's a little bit of the burden this morning along those lines that the Lord has given us. Specifically, the way the Lord brought to me was staying close. You know, if we're constantly trying to move away from the Lord's side, then it's hard for Him to hide us. And, you know, that's not always, you know, we think of direct rebellion, but, you know, sometimes other interests can pull us away, and we want to be careful in our life that we don't allow that to happen. We want to be faithful. You know, the song talks about, blessed rock of ages, I'm trusting now, dear Lord, in thee. Keep me till my journey's ended. All right, till that blessed face I see. And he goes on, keep me when the storm clouds gather, till the sun comes shining through. Keep me till my work is over, till I bid this world adieu. When my journey is completed, and there's no more work to do, Savior, guide my weary spirit to that happy land beyond the blue. And so to think through all this song about, Lord, this that I'm asking you to do is not something for just a moment in my life. But it's something that I need until I leave this world. I need you, Lord, to hide me. I need you, Rock of Ages, to hide me. And that's absolutely true this morning. And that's our burden, that we want to realize the need we have for the Lord to hide us so that we don't find ourselves pushing Him away in our life. So we want to look at a song in our hymnal, number 175. I can't think about this song without thinking about somebody here in our congregation. I know it's maybe one of our favorites, but it's definitely a precious song. And verse 3 of this song says, bless me, O my Savior, bless me. Isn't that what we want this morning? Isn't that what we're talking about? Lord, I want you to bless me. Lord, I want you to hide me. Lord, I want you to keep me. And not just for a moment, but throughout this life, until this life is over, Lord, I'm asking you to keep me. And that's what my heart, and as I read that first line of the song, bless me, oh my Savior, bless me. This is what I'm crying out to you for. And then it says, as I sit low at thy feet. As I sit low at thy feet. This person in the song didn't write the song and say, bless me, oh my Savior, bless me as I wander and stray and do all the things that I think that whatever my heart runs to in life, whatever my flesh runs to in life, as I do all those things, Lord, bless me. He said, bless me as I sit low at your feet. Acknowledging, Lord, I'm not expecting you to chase me down and try to shove blessings in my way. Lord, I know that I need to stay here close to you. I know that needs to be the focus in my life. Because I want those blessings and I can't expect you to just shove them in my way wherever I run in life. I want to stay close to you where I can receive those blessings. And I can't say it enough this morning. And I want to overemphasize that point right now. Because that is the major point of the message the Lord has given us this morning. He wants to bless us. He wants to keep us. But it's not going to happen unless we're intent. Unless we make the focus of our life, the desire of our heart. And when we see a desire that's not this way, that we give that to the Lord and ask the Lord to help us to have a desire to stay low at the Savior's feet. Well, what about this thing? I want to stay at Jesus' feet. You know, all the specific questions of life, and we've got to have a specific answer. You know what you've got to have? You need to stay low at Jesus' feet. If you stay low at Jesus' feet, what you need to know, you will know with time. But more importantly than that, if you stay low at His feet, then every blessing that He intends for you. Remember how He said He would open up the storehouses? God's got a lot of blessings for every single one of us in our lives this morning that he wants to give to us. And if we'll sit low at his feet, all those other questions, you know what? Well, what about this? What about this? But I want this. What do you want most? Do you want the Lord to bless you? I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. Well, just let those questions go. Let them be in his hands. And you just stay low at his feet. Everything will take care. He'll take care of everything if we're willing to have that kind of mission, that kind of goal, that willingness in our life to sacrifice what it takes to be sacrificed in order to stay in that place. It takes something. You will not stay there without sacrifice. Because there's a whole nother part of us that wants to pull us away in life. There's a whole nother spiritual force that wants to pull us away. That another breath, that wind that wants to push us in a different direction. You're going to have to sacrifice the things that it manages to move. You're going to have to let those things go. All right, this thing's trying to move me. I don't want to go with it. Cut it off. Let it go. Let it go with that wind in life. Let it be gone because I want to stay at Jesus' feet. You try to hold on to those things, you're not going to be able to stay there. All right? It takes sacrifice in order to stay there. But it's for a purpose. It's for something better. Something that's worth it in life. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me as I sit low at thy feet. Oh, look down in love upon me. Let me see thy face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Keep me holy as he is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness. You know, who is all my righteousness. If you let it go, let those things that the world is blowing on in your life and are trying to move you, if you're willing to let them go in order to stay low at Jesus' feet, then you will find this true. You will find that the Lord will prove that you've been sitting there low at his feet in your life. And it's the only way to do that. We want to try to prove it some other way, it's going to fall short. The only way to prove that is to stay low at Jesus' feet. Make the sacrifices it takes to stay there. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Hebrews 4, and we'll pick up here in the 14th verse. Speaking about Jesus, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know, I want the Lord to help me to bring out this next part because it's such a simple thought, but it's so profound to me. If I was to say, I don't know a better way to say this. If I was to say the way, what comes to your mind? Whose name comes to your mind if I was to say the way? You know, people have nicknames. There's certain names that society has given to people, and you say those names, and that person is not their name, but if they say that thing, then they come to light. That's who comes to your mind, all right? And so if I say the way this morning, who comes to your mind? Jesus, right? Why? Because he is the way. That's what the Bible tells us. He is the way. If I say the door this morning, who comes to your mind? If I say the truth this morning, who comes to your mind? Jesus, right? These are all names given to him for a reason. People in life, when there's a name and you name it, they didn't get that by walking out one day and saying, I want to be called this. And all of a sudden, the whole world, when you mention that name, realizes that's who you're talking about. It doesn't happen that way. There's something they did. There's sacrifices they made. There was a place they earned in history that name is assigned to them. Now, if I say Abe, who do you think about? Abraham Lincoln. I mean, there's a lot of Abes that lived in this life, a lot of Abrahams that have lived. But if I say Abe, if you lived in America at least, you know Abe. I mean, that's who I'm talking about, most likely. All right? There's a reason why when we say the way that Jesus comes to your mind. It's because that's who he is. The sacrifices were made. The life was lived. The demonstration was made that this is the way this morning. And he's the only way. All right? So are you going to try to take that name from him? We always think about it that way. But the way means that he was the way. And this morning, if I really believe that, then I'm going to follow right in with what he did and what he taught. And when something comes that's a question in my life, I'm going to be like, but he's the way. I mean, that was what was wrong with Peter. It wasn't that Peter had figured everything out about Christ or knew all the answers. He just knew that Jesus was the way. You have the words of life. So, Lord, why would I go anywhere? Because, I mean, even with all these questions I have, you are the way. Now, the same way, Peter could have said, but, Lord, I have some questions. I want to try to figure them out. Well, what are you going to do, Peter? Are you going to try to be the way? Are you going to try to have the words of life? I mean, do you think that's something that you're going to manage to do in your life? Well, Peter said, no. For that very reason, I mean, if I thought somehow I could do it, then I might try it a little differently because this isn't the way I'm thinking about things right now. But he is the way. So my job is not to figure all this out. My job is to say, Lord, how do I stay close to you? How do I stay at your feet? How do I stay low at your feet? Lord, you know all about these things. So many times we think, but Lord, you don't know. We don't say it that way. But that's what's going on when we see a question different in our mind and we feel like we have to figure it out, so to speak, instead of just seeking, Lord, how do I just stay at your feet right here? Then we're saying, Lord, there's something here you hadn't thought about. Oh, we don't think, but we wouldn't say that because it's like, that's so foolish to think that the Lord hasn't got it all figured out already. But the devil keeps us from thinking about it that way. And then we start taking these questions and trying to figure them out. And even in sometimes not even a real rebellion, we end up getting away from Jesus' feet. We end up moving away from where he can really hide us a little bit in our life. And then we're not where he can bless us, where he can lead us. We're not safe, really. Honestly, he is the way. Are we going to try to make another one? There's not another way. He is the only way. Do it like Jesus. Just do it like Jesus. Well, I don't know. Just do it like Jesus. What are you doing in life? Stop trying to figure it out. Just do it like Jesus. Yes. And whatsoever you do, do all in his name. Do all in his authority as you feel like he would do it. If there's something in what you're doing that's not matching up to what you do know about Jesus, you're like, well, I don't know about this thing. Lord, I really don't know what you do about that. Those are honest questions. I'm talking about the questions this morning. There are questions we all face, I think, for the rest of our life. I'm not 50 yet, but I've lived 48 years and it hadn't stopped. I don't know that it's going to stop being questions about specific things. I can't always figure out the thing, but I do know a lot about who Jesus is, and I know he's the way. So, Lord, as I'm in the middle of this, let me just do what I do know you are. And if something in this thing is making me act a little different than who you are, there's something I need to do differently at the very least in the midst of this thing. Because I need to do it like Jesus. I need to stay low at his feet. And if I do that, then all these other questions can work themselves out. Even if he says, well, why don't you come over here and just not do that at all later in my life? Okay, well, all right, Lord, now we got that settled. Now I know what the answer is about that thing. But we give him the opportunity to do that when we do to our best of our knowledge. Do it like Jesus. Amen. And if there's something about something I have a question about and I'm wanting to move into it, but it's making me act in a different way than what Jesus would act, that's all I need. For Peter, still with the questions, for him to move there, he would have had to move away from who Jesus was. Okay, that's all I need to know. I don't have to have this part figured out about what you just said about this thing because it sounded really weird, Lord. It sounded really weird. If y'all remember, some of you might not remember, that was where Jesus said, you must drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, basically. That sounds weird, Lord. I don't understand that. But to figure it out my own way, I'd have to move away from you like all the rest of those just did, and I'm not going to do that. So that answers everything I need to know right now. And with time, Lord, you can show me what else I need to know about this situation. Don't you know that Peter had a different understanding about that later on in life, at some point, I'm quite confident, at some point Peter looked back at that conversation and goes, oh, okay, now I get it. But it wasn't that day. It wasn't in that decision, and it probably wasn't even in the next day or the next day. But that's all right. The Lord took care of that because Peter was more focused on the fact that he just needed to stay by Jesus and stay low at his feet, right? Do it like Jesus. Hebrews, the second chapter, and the 9th verse says, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Before we go any further, there's a little catchphrase here. There are little catchphrases through the Bible I think that are so good to keep. And for the burden of the message this morning, this catchphrase is really good to take with you. But we see Jesus. Well, what about this? What about this? What about... But we see Jesus. Let that be your catchphrase to take with you from here this morning. Whatever you're going through, whatever questions you have, but we see Jesus. Let that be the message of your life. Yes. Your life. This man, well, you got all these things figured out? Nope. I just see Jesus, and I just want to follow. I want to stay close to him. All right? And it goes on, it says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. See, he's got this all figured out. In bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You know it, the captain of their salvation. I like that. That puts a message in my mind about who Jesus is. And I think, let's just, Lord, just imprint that in our minds this morning for a minute here. That he is the captain of our salvation. All right? Because what does that mean? It means we're not just a group here trying to figure it out. Well, that's what it becomes so quickly. We talked a little bit about holiness this morning, and I'm not talking about in fallen churches. I'm talking about in amongst people who teach holiness. If we're not careful, it gets to such a point of us trying to figure it all out that it becomes a bunch of, I keep on wanting to say, a bunch of little us running around here, managing everything, and we just got this thing we've created. And this is not what God has for us. There's a dryness in that. There's a failing in that. There's something in that that comes short of the glory of God. There is a captain. There's a captain, and we're not little ants running around just trying to manage this whole thing and make it look like what it's supposed to look like. We're sheep that have a captain, that have a leader. That's the word captain there. The Greek word that's translated as that means chief leader. All right? So he's not just a leader, but he's also a chief. I mean, he's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the head of the body. All right? I feel I need to somehow draw that. I don't know how to illustrate that. It was so imprinted in our minds because, I'll say it again, especially amongst people who teach holiness, we can become little ants scurrying around trying to build our hill like we think it needs to be instead of the sheep who are following a leader. What does it say? John said, he said, we tell you these things that you may have fellowship with us, but truly our fellowship is with God. So this is not a bunch of us around here. It's a bunch of us who have taken the Lord as their captain in life. And we're all connected to him. And he is building the flock. He is building the castle. He is building the church. And we are created in his image, that the image of Christ may be seen through us, that it may testify to the world because we're connected to him. We're not testifying to something we built this morning. That's not what the Lord wants for us. We're staying close to Jesus, that he may testify through us to what he's building in us and through us in this world. All right? And so the captain of the salvation. So I wanted to draw something. Did anybody, now, I don't know how they do it in co-op. Because I know the classes are a little different and I don't understand all. But do y'all do lines to go places? So this may, you might not get this picture, but I'll try to illustrate it with a little more verbiage, because some of you have been in public schools, and you know, when you get ready to go somewhere, what's the first thing you do? You line up. Finger over your mouth. Right by, and I mean, this lineup, and I've had teachers, but pretty much all of them to some degree do this. Hey, get in line. I mean, anybody ever had a teacher form a line didn't say that one time or another? Get in line. We're not going as a group. We're going in a line. We're following something, okay? We're not just wandering down the hallway. We're not going to do that. We're going to follow this line. And so this morning, if this is the leader and the line's going like this, is this a line? If these dots are all people, are we in a line? Are we following some? No. All right. Let me show you something else. If we're in this line, okay, that looks more like a line, right? That's kind of what it's supposed to look like. Nobody's off this way, nobody's off this way, right? Okay, so that's a line. But during the walking of this line, because this happens too, you got the kid or babysitter rolling. They're already like, hey, that looks really interesting over there. Okay. Are they following? Did y'all have teachers when this happened? They were just like, oh, yeah, that looks great. Great line, guys. No, that's not a line, and that's not following. That gets corrected really quick. All right? You know, this is what we're talking about. If Jesus is the way, then that means we need to follow him, because the way terms not someone who's, you know, just over there saying, hey, y'all come over here, and we're all like, okay, sure, there I made it, okay, sure, there I made it, whichever way, okay, we just got to end up at this point. That is not how this line thing works, guys, for I've never done it, okay? All right? But this is where we get sometimes when we get a little less focused on the simplicity that's in Christ of just staying low at his feet. And we begin to try to figure out all these other things instead of waiting for God to reveal them to us, to show us what we need to know about that while we focus on just staying low at his feet. Because Jesus wasn't just a point over here that he said, y'all come this way. All right? He is the way. So that means this now is something where if we're going to make it, we need to follow what he did. Follow his path. All this different ways, that's hard. That's hard. There's too much for me to try to figure out. I can't do that. This is easy. I mean, you understand what I mean? It's easy to understand what you need to do. It's not always easy to do, but it's easy to understand, because in every situation, I know what I'm called to. But the question is there, I know I'm called to behave like Christ in this situation and to seek him about where we're headed. And then he takes it from there, because he's alive. If he wasn't alive, then he couldn't come down and then help us to figure it out. We would have to figure it out. But what we have to do is just learn how to stay low at his feet, behaving the way he wants us to behave, seeking him, bringing our questions to him, staying close to him with our life, however you want to think about it. That's what we're called to this morning. Because then he is the way. He will lead us and guide us and direct us. Because that's where we are. If we're low at his feet, he will bless us and help us. Okay? So he's our captain. He is our chief leader. So the next 11th verse here of this second chapter says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are one, are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Can you imagine? I would just see Peter when he realized, Lord, I'm your brethren. I mean, I know Peter went through something. That's why I'm kind of mentioning his name. But they all did. They all came to a point for the Lord to come back to that beach after he was resurrected and to have a meal for them and to show them that you're my brethren. You're my brethren. There's just something to that. Lord, I don't want to be anywhere. So you remember how they said, it's the Lord, and they jumped out of the boat and they ran for him? They tried to get there. They couldn't wait for the boat, some of them. They just jumped out and ran. I think maybe it was Peter. Maybe there's one other that ran to him. But he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Again, I will put my trust in him. Again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. There's a whole message here about us being together with the Lord. That's, you understand what I'm saying? So there's not just us being together. There's another all-important element here that we're centered around, and that's Christ. And if I'm over here going, well, this kind of looks good, or listen, I don't even want to go there this morning, because it's not so much the bird, it's not about that. It's about these questions that arise, and we're trying to figure out how to answer those questions, and we don't realize how that gets us off track sometimes when we're trying to come up with our own answer instead of seeking the Lord and staying low at his feet and saying, well, Lord, I know what to do. I know to be like you. I know to try to give up who I am to you. So, Lord, I'm just going to keep on doing that. Lord, help me to understand what I need to understand about this situation. And we keep our minds open to listening to the Lord through his word, through him applying things in our life. All right? So how are we going to enjoy all of this unless we are close at Jesus' feet, unless we're focused on staying beside him? But if we focus on staying beside him, then we can be right where we need to be. It says, 14th verse, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. All right? So I've related a story here, but just think about a child. Do children, like if children's walking with the parent, do they always walk right beside them? That's a learning process. Once we've learned that that's what's expected of us, and we've learned it to the degree we need to, then we're pretty good at doing it, right? But there's a period of time there where the child has to be taught to stay close to their parent when we're walking in certain situations, right? Well, one thing that inspires obedience in that child really quickly is when there's an external force that shows up that they weren't expecting. How many times has there been a child a little bit away from their parent? I know you used to work with children. And first time you meet them or something, but in other situations too, some external something they weren't expecting walks up. What is the first thing they do? Almost all the time, it's like they beat it over to the parent's leg and they're grabbing them. And a lot of times the thumb's stuck in the mouth. But anyways, that's beside the point. They get over close to that parent quickly. Lord, help us. One of the things that causes problems is we forget there's an external force in this life that's not Christ. That's the devil. And he is just waiting for you to step away from Jesus. Because guess what? There isn't anything else in life that can hide you from his power. And we're dealing with eternity here. When I'm not careful with my life, when I'm not focused on just simply staying at Jesus' feet, when I've got to try to figure things out myself, and I start wandering off without putting it in his hands and just staying close to him, then I'm at the mercies of the devil. There is not anything in my life where I have power. Remember, he is the way. He is also the protection and the deliverance. This morning, you will not stand in front of Satan and be successful. All right? You remember the seven sons of Sceva. We know Paul. We know Christ. The devil's told him, but who are you? And they jumped on him. The devil jumped on him. All right? You're not going to stand against the power of Satan unless you're hidden by Christ. Because he is the only power that can defeat Satan in your life. Oh, Lord, there's so many thoughts about that right now. But let's just leave it at that. He is the only power that can defeat Satan in your life. So when you got those questions and you're tempted to try to go figure them out in your own self, remember that there is an external force out here.
Yes.
Can you wait by the Lord's side and let him answer those for you? Can you just realize it's more important just to be safe this morning than to figure all these things out, to figure out whether or not I'm missing something here in life? But Lord, I might be missing something. If you're low at the Jesus feet, let me promise you, you're not missing anything. There may be some things that are kind of hard to let go of. or are in my life, even now to this day, I battle some things that I gave up for the Lord that I would have loved to maybe, you know, my flesh would have loved to do that. It's still a little bit of a cutting away in my life. A lot of those, anyways, not to get too much into that. But that's just part of staying by the Lord's side where it's safe. What matters most? Whether or not I miss something or whether or not I'm safe for eternity. What matters most? There's so many blessings at the Lord's side. It's so worth it. All right? It says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of this people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor, or that word means aid and relieve, them who are tempted. You know, if I stay low at Jesus' feet, I'm quite confident from the scripture and from experience that I will find myself victorious in my life. Maybe a process, maybe situations where he's like, we're going to work through this so you can learn how much you really need me. I don't know how the Lord's going to do it, but I'm quite confident if I just stay low at his feet that I will be victorious in life. All right, the Lord's proven that to me through his word and through experience. All right, so it came to me this way, and I actually wrote this down, and maybe this, for me, this was kind of a clarity. The closer you get to Jesus, the more deliverance you will find. That's your answer this morning. What am I in here for? Lord, have I gotten a vision of what this life is about? Have I got a vision of heaven and hell? Have I got a vision of if I gain the world and lose my soul, that I will burn in hell for the rest of my eternity? For eternity, I will burn in hell if somehow I lose my soul. Have I got a vision of that this morning? The only way I can think some other things are important besides deliverance is somehow I'm not getting a hold of that in life, not getting a hold of what life is really about, all right, and what the end of life is. And the results and what the battle is, the battle of Armageddon that's going on. And people are saying, well, that's happening. No, it's going on right now for men's souls, all right, in this life. That's the battle. There is not another. There's not going to be another battle someday. It's going on right now. The only way that the loser can win a war is if he gets people thinking and not realizing that's what the battle's going on at all. If we can get a hold of the fact that that's what life is about, that it's a battle for our souls, and there's going to be a result at the end that we're going to live with for eternity, then we realize that the thing that's most important is deliverance, right? The closer you get to Jesus, the more deliverance you will find. You don't do that by buttoning down the sleeves or by, you know, all of that comes as a result of your life. Okay, what I want to say, I don't want to get too, you misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. You get all those things you need to keep you safe in life and understanding of them by getting close to Jesus, by letting him work in your life, by staying close to him, even when you have questions. All right? Back to that verse in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. The 16th, well, not back to it. There's a verse there we didn't read that I want to read. 4 and 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Lord, can I really show my face before you? Child, I think he says to us several places in his word, my mercy endures forever. I have all the mercy you need to just bow for you, just to bow before me. There's nothing you need to prove. There's nothing you need to figure out. If you'll just kneel before me, I have all of the mercy you need in life. And you know what else he has? He has the grace to help you.
Yes.
This is where it's found. You don't find it. We're wasting our time to be any other place. Worse than wasting our time, we're putting ourselves in a dangerous position for eternity. This is where you find the mercy we need and the grace we need. in life. I have a psalm that I really would like us to read. I know we don't normally do this, maybe, but Psalms 91. And there's 16 verses here, but if y'all don't mind, let's read this together. And you know what? You don't have to read out loud, but if you would, that's great. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. Amen.